On October 30th, 1991, three weather systems converged off the northeast coast and brought destructive hurricane winds and waves to New England, to our coastline, and this was the infamous perfect storm. I believe Chris has a graphic. Some of you remember this graphic. This is one of the most ferocious weather makers that the New England coast has ever endured. I was a student up at Eastern Nazarene College, and I literally was watching waves just pummel Quincy Shore Drive like I've never seen before. That's a relatively quiet area. The ferociousness of that ocean was impressive. Get out of the way, basically, okay? One of the rescue incidents that took place was off of a sailboat by the name of the Satori. Does anyone remember hearing about the Satori? Three people on board that sailboat, a 34-footer, left New Hampshire to sail to Bermuda just days earlier. But inevitably, they were caught in the perfect storm. And they sent out the Mayday call. The Coast Guard helicopter that was dispatched was from Cape Cod Air Station. And years later, when I was working with John DeBrine and the radio ministry in the movie The Perfect Storm came out in 1998, so you're talking about 8 years later, they've compiled some of the history about that storm and what was going on with the main boat that went off of Gloucester, and those three fishermen were killed. But this was one of the other stories that was there. As we talked to the gentleman from the Coast Guard who was part of the rescue, he was lowered from his helicopter into those raging waters. These were towering waves. Some say they were 50-foot waves. They were huge. These were massive, massive waves. Can you imagine being lowered into 50-foot waves to try to rescue people? Here's what I don't want you to forget about the story, because you could be now feeling very wet. Okay? We're not wet yet. But the three on board that Satori vessel were rescued. When we asked this gentleman, Scott, were you scared when you were in that water to rescue? He says, here's what I can tell you guys. I remembered my training. I remembered my training. There's something true about that statement, is sometimes when we think about being in different situations in life, it's what we know and what we've been taught to do. I believe Ephesians chapter 6, what we're going to look at for just a few minutes this morning. This is part one. We're going to go into part two. What I forget to tell you today, I'm going to tell you in 2 weeks, okay? That's what happens to the preacher when he has a two-part series. He remembers what he didn't tell you the first week, but I really think there's a lot here to build us on for 2 weeks. But Scott said that day, I remembered what I practiced. So when I have to see these guys, they practice going into big ocean, severe ocean conditions. When you and I are sometimes, like, we're hunkering down, these guys go out and they train in the storms, because they know that something like a perfect storm can develop and people can be stranded and they can't get back into safety in time. So now they need to be rescued. And I really believe what the Apostle Paul is going to show us this morning in the book of Ephesians is standing on what we've been taught. Paul devoted the entire epistle. Epistle really should be the way that we think about Paul's letters. They are authoritative instruction. In other words, they're not optional. These aren't just good suggestions. He says, follow me as I follow Christ. In other words, God taught me how I'm to teach you. If we ignore scriptural instruction and we make it up as we go, there's a phrase for that. Good luck. Good luck. We live in the world where people make it up. Everybody wants a little piece of this and a little piece of that. We need to be diligent. The scripture says to rightly divide the word of truth. If we don't do that, we land on things that are not necessarily correct. I just say that. So anyway, Paul is writing an authoritative epistle. It's known as the letter to the Ephesians. Actually, Jesus has very strong words to this church in one of his addresses in the book of Revelation. You could read that. Paul recognized that in any life of a believer, we are prone not to stand strong in what we already heard. We drift. We are like that Satori vessel. that can get tossed. Paul even says that in this book. Don't be tossed by, you know, every wave of doctrine, right? We're tossed to and fro. It's like, oh, do I believe it? Do I not believe it? Do I stand? Do I not stand? It's like, get these things settled and grow in them. Paul says in another portion of the book of Hebrews, keep laying the simple, these basic foundations. The basics are good, but God wants us to go on. God is expecting and wants victory out of the life of the believer, even when things are blowing apart all around us, in some cases, literally. But the book of Ephesians explains what it means for a man or woman to be placed into Christ. You always have to keep in mind the language of the epistles is language of intimacy. It's language for the believer to know that they have been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ, and God wants intimacy with you. He wants you to know these things. To stop is to live in the zone of the unworthy. I'm so unworthy. Well, we get that, okay? I get that. We were made worthy. You were made worthy by Jesus Christ. The fact that you've appropriated what he's done for you makes you worthy. That's why the scripture says to boldly approach the throne of grace with confidence that you'll find help in your time of need. I don't feel very worthy. Well, we get that. I'm having a little fun with you guys. Wake up. Okay. This is my favorite job in the whole wide world. To be with you Sunday morning, to be a part of what God's doing, to celebrate these great truths, and I pray you pray for me. I ask that you pray for me, that I would not lose my focus and my joy in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done for me. Guess what? Satan hates the fact that I stand up here every single Sunday and declare to you statements of complete victory that belong to you, that really belong to the believer. And so if you think, I'm in my swimming pool yesterday and all of a sudden I hear, psst, I'm like, man, just got stung. I'm like, it's a little one of those fiery darts. But I get up. I'm pleading with my wife, go get the eye of arrest. No. Okay, sorry. What? I did. Okay. Dennis calls me this morning. I mean, come on, like, the two teachers in here getting stung by bugs and ticks, and he says, pray for me. This morning, I'm talking, this is not even, 4 hours old. He's like, pray for me, I'm in the ER. I've been bit by a tick. I'm like, okay, we're going to pray for Brother Dennis. So if he's looking a little woozy, it's the drugs he's on. No, I'm just... All right. I digressed greatly. Okay. A believer, a true believer in the Lord Jesus is one who's placed their trust in him. You are trusting that perfect, precious blood was spilt for you. It was spilt generously for you. And you and I can just, we can look upon that sacrificial cross that Jesus literally died on. His physical body was nailed to that cross, and out of his body flowed precious, perfect blood to cover every sinner. One sacrifice is enough, and his is enough. We do not need to ask God ever, please find this sacrifice acceptable again. That is a blasphemous statement. We need not ask that. The sacrifice is complete once and for all, and our job is to point people to that sacrifice. Upon receiving that, you gain all the righteousness of God, and God wants you to live in that righteousness and then develop that righteousness in your life. So when a man and woman makes this decision, they are placed into Christ. They become part of his body, the church. Paul says this was a mystery hidden in ages past. This is way better than discipleship. And I love discipleship. I love people growing. But this is intimate language. This is when you're called the bride of Jesus Christ, those are intimate words. My wife is my bride. She is my wife. Okay? There are things that we talk about. There are things that we share together that I don't share with anyone else. When Jesus refers to you as his bride, he's talking about wanting you. The Lord Jesus wants you. Remember Uncle Sam? Wants you. The Lord Jesus wants you. He wants relationship with you. And he's going to do it on his terms, but he's gracious and he offers. And so when a man is placed into Christ, he receives something that God says acceptable, because Jesus is fully acceptable to the Father. You gain everything when you gain him. Our job at this point in our lives, after we understand what Christ did for us, is now to grow. And the enemy does not want that to happen in any of our lives. The enemy does not want us to enter the land of victory. And you can get a real picture of victory, which I believe Joshua is a very clear picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. But when you see what the Israelites go through as they take the land and they have to overcome so many things, in the, you know, by the end of that, Joshua says, "As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." See, that's, no matter what's going on in our life, we have to say, you know, I'm after that land of victory. Not just heaven, that's already promised. Heaven is awesome, but there are things right now in the here and now, in this time, on this realm that we're living in, that God wants to give you victory. Men, if you struggle with pornography, God wants to give you victory over that. But he wants you to know what the weapons you do to use to do that. If you are a worrywart, and you can't, and people think I'm a worrywart. I don't think I'm a worrywart, but perhaps I act worried sometimes, okay? All right? But I'm a details guy. Perhaps look like I worry. All right, so... But if we're prone to controlling all this stuff, we can ask God to help us to rest, to trust him, that he wants to move us forward. We are part of this unique, wonderful thing that he's done. It's called the church. Yes, we call it here Grace Lighthouse Fellowship, but the church is any person who has genuine faith in the Savior. Now, we want that. We believe the best environment for that person to really thrive in is a healthy local church, where they get to be with people like you. How healthy are you? Right? That's the question. We say, how healthy am I? How healthy am I? I just want to read you this one portion of scripture from early in Ephesians. Then we're going to go to the actual text. Paul says this, like the rest, we were by nature deserving wrath. See, the Bible is very clear, but God is so wonderfully, perfectly holy that sin will never be in his presence. God can still create this world. Satan did a number. He brought sin into this world. He brought Adam. Adam basically says, you know, it's not going to really matter if I eat this fruit, right? It's the woman you gave me. So now sin enters into the world. Satan brings that temptation. And all of a sudden now we've got sin that's affected the entire human race. That's why people can take a whatever size weapon and walk into a Walmart and open up and just blast people. That is evil in the heart of man. You think, oh, I'm not capable of that. God says you are. Praise God that you haven't. But we don't like to think this way because, like, I'm so much better than them. See, you have to realize that we are all sinners in need of a Savior. Praise God that you and I have been kept from that level of stupidity and satanic control. But that can happen. What do you think happened? These people were little people one day. They were like little kids and they grew up. And perhaps that evil was never really arrested in their life. And they just devoured video games all day long about violence. And all of a sudden it starts to get in. And see, evil is one of those things that it gets a foothold in our life. And it can manifest really ugly stuff. We live in a sinful world that Christ came to save. God is not surprised at these shootings. Does it break his heart? I really do. I really believe it does break his heart. But all the more that as you and I live in this sinful, difficult world, almost seems like every day something. I'm like, my goodness, like sometimes I just try to catch up on a little bit of news and I realize the political tension that is just in this world. Praise God that Jesus Christ is making it right. What Jesus is holding out for is to people to trust him. If you've been saved recently, God waited for you to be saved. Do you realize that? He waited for you to be saved. There's coming a point in which once this catching up of believers, God can take the believers off the planet. A period's coming on this planet called the Great Tribulation. You think it's bad now? God is going to allow things to unfold on this planet to show how desperately man needs him. And people will literally be putting their fist in the face of God during those days. Man's heart is greatly wicked, and God loves sinners. He loves us. He could not have demonstrated his love any more completely. Scripture says, like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. Grace is God's unmerited favor. You can't earn it. You just simply have to receive it. It is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ. That would come from Ephesians chapter 2. So Paul is building the case throughout this letter that you are in Christ. Now, what do you do to protect that? And I'd like to read, and these will be up on the screen, Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 18. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with the truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Wow. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Let me be very clear here. This is more than just you individually. This is for the whole church. Do you realize that God wants the whole church to think this way? Sometimes I think we personalize spiritual warfare to the point that we exclude ourselves from being part of the church. This is church teaching. This is how the church in general should be thinking. This is how we as a church succeed. There's too much of this, well, it's just between me and God. You're part of a family. You are part of a family. God wants you to grow together as a family, as part of his bride. So when we're talking about spiritual warfare, we're talking about standing collectively against the wiles of the devil. I like this idea. Perhaps you got your bulletin. I think there's three things that stood out to me in this that they'll be up on the screen. And I think there's things that we could look here at and say, you know what? Paul is saying we are to stand against. You realize it's like four or five times in these eight verses, Paul says to stand, to stand. Do you know what was on that Roman soldier's, on his feet? They were cleats, and they dug in deep. Matter of fact, I think God's got an amazing, amazing way of teaching. This is one of Paul's prison epistles. Who do you think he might be beside? A Roman soldier. He is observing the Roman soldier's armor. I think it's safe to say that. Paul understood Roman culture. He saw it, he lived in it, and now he uses it to teach. He says in verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Doesn't this sound very similar to what God told Joshua? Have I not commanded you, but be strong in the Lord, right? Have I not commanded you? Are you strong in the Lord this morning? It takes time to become strong in the Lord. God knows that we are emotional creatures and we can let emotions drive our life. Every time something happens, we pick up the phone to call somebody. Matter of fact, you should call 774-7-PRAYER. There you go. And we will pray with you. And I mean that. This is not just a resource for the outside people. If you need prayer, you call that line. We will call you and we will pray with you. So one of us will be back in touch with you to pray. There are times that stuff comes up, and so I just encourage you to utilize the weapon of prayer. He says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. I think we have a graphic here on the whole armor of God. So, picture of a Roman soldier, big old feet clamped down into that, to that terrain, to that surface, and he's got his feet planted. And every part of his body is protected. God has a description for every portion that where we need covering, and he lays it out in this passage. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Another word for wiles is schemes. Schemes. These are satanic ideas that will come at us. See, one of the big satanic ideas today is that Jesus Christ is just another religious figure. Once you settle for that one, Satan's got you. Because he's going to throw other stuff at you. Just better your life by thinking good, positive thoughts. Well, how long does that last? Right? That doesn't last very long. You cannot save yourself, no matter how good you want to reform, no matter how much discipline you want to put into your life. And I say this as a fairly disciplined person, I still, I'm a leaky vessel. I still realize, wow, no matter how much I improve, there's something else that's still leaking, right? It's a leaky vessel. But put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, the schemes. And this is where I believe Satan often wants to get you away from your clear position of being in Christ. And he says here, if we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, this is verse 12, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities. See, these are at another level, at a heavenly level, and I believe that this is a realm in which Satan has access and control. This is not where God's dwelling with evil all day long, and we think about that as, you know, this is a realm in which Satan has been isolated to, but it is a heavenly realm. It's a realm where I believe Satan schemes. The Bible says that Satan prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour, right? But resist him, Peter said, stand firm. The value of learning just to stand in who you are as a believer is so critical. People like say, I'm going to take Satan on. Well, good luck with that. You have no right to do that except that you stand the way God tells you to stand. These television programs that tell you to rebuke the devil all day long, do you realize Satan is a real match for the weak believer? The strong believer who's positionally in Christ, of course, but is now protected by the armor of God, that person's going to succeed. And guess what the Bible says happens? He flees from you. Wow! Can you imagine Satan coming up to you? He's like, you know what? I can't touch him. Because he's standing firm in this most in these weapons that God has given to him. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Let me just be very clear. Believers have no right to be playing around with satanic means. And I mean that. I mean horoscopes. I mean the New Age movement. I mean anything that's going to take you away from loving Jesus Christ the way he loved you. If it doesn't say Jesus spilt his blood for you and is offering that sacrifice, you are playing around with something that is, I would say, is anti-Christ, is anti-biblical. Can the believer still get entangled in this stuff? Yes, because the devil prowls around like a roaring lion. I'm just speaking truth to you this morning because I truly believe that you and I, as a church of the living God, as who God wants us to be, he wants us to know stuff, important stuff. One point in Scripture, Paul calls it the things of the Lord. The things of the Lord are things that you should know. Things of the Lord are the things that you and I should be very purposeful. And if Paul's saying five times in this passage to stand, he is not telling you to go wage war, to go out there and get it, go out there and find it. You're strong in Christ when you are standing in the righteousness and utilizing and ready to put up these weapons. And let's look at some of them. Let's go back to that graphic. Am I a little passionate this morning? Oh, please forgive me. I just do it because I love you. And you listen, hopefully, right? Really. I think about you, and I think about me, and I think about what's at stake. I think about the world that we're living in, and I don't want to play around. Do I love having a good time, and do I love a hot dog cart, a bouncy house, and a water slide? I do. But to me, this is, as someone said, you know, the Christian life, you know, it's not a playground, it's a battleground. Whatever we do in this church is for the glory of God. If we have fun, it's for the glory of God. It's so that people can know and learn and love Jesus. That's what this is about. So I think Christians should be partying in the right way. Partying because we love Him. And that's when you, later today when we have this service, some people here will be entering the waters of baptism. It's to declare that I'm identified with Him. I've already been washed. I've already been fully washed, and I'm proud to tell you that I love Jesus Christ. That is identification with Him, and it's a good thing for a person to have on their conscience that I stood in the waters of baptism because I declared that I trust Christ and I want to serve Him. So the graphic there. All of these I do plan to get into a little bit more detail in 2 weeks. But every one of these aspects of the armor is designed to protect and, if not, fend off Satan's attacks. You think about the sword of the Spirit and the Word of God. Can you say you know the Word of God? Do you know if something comes into your life? And here's where I think Satan loves to play with us, is to throw tons of doubt. God doesn't really love you. Look at you. Look at this world. See? Like, evil seems to be winning. See, and if you were really a Christian, you would have done that. Now see, some of those things can feel very true, but that's not standing on the Word of God. Do you realize the Scripture says that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses our conscience? That was a complete cleansing, even though your conscience can still be very active in your mind, and you might be feeling certain ways about your conscience. You know, I was thinking about somebody who's connected with this church a little bit. And sometimes I look and I say, huh, I wonder why that was so important to them. Because I think what ultimately was going on is they're wrestling with guilt. And guilt has a way of just being a territory for Satan. Because people don't know the Word of God and they don't say things like, you could simply say, you know what, Satan's really trying to have a nut play a lot of games with me emotionally, but I'm standing on the Word of God. That's the sword of the Spirit. That's standing on the Word. That's taking His Word. I said this morning in prayer that God says, I will honor my name, I will honor my Word above my name. God's name is awesome. God is, every aspect of God is awesome. But God is a God of His Word. So what God says is already done for us in Jesus Christ is something that you and I are going to need a lot of help and a lot of long suffering, even patient with ourselves, so that we're not quitting, we're not just giving up. You know, sometimes life just seems to beat the daylights out of us. And sometimes the life can look like a train wreck. I was talking to Dennis about a gentleman who he's been building into, and the guy just recently had a pretty disappointing thing happen to him. He caused it. His own stupidity. Sinful things. But see, here's Brother Dennis coming over to try to pick the guy up. Because guess what Satan wants to do? He wants to shoot tons of weapons at that guy and keep him down. Oh, if you were really a Christian, you wouldn't have done that. See? See, we are still weak. The moment you came into Christ, you were weak. The moment you got saved, you were weak. Yes, God is mighty, and the power that He wants to give us to live successfully in the Christian life comes from one source, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our power. The Holy Spirit is our power. So he says here in verse 13, therefore take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. Do you know the truth? The truth of what Christ did for you? Do you know the truth when it comes to decisions that you need to make? You know what? James says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Vacillating to and fro. Should I, shouldn't I? Should I, shouldn't I? You know, learn to settle things that are important for you to settle. If you know the truth, right? Paul says we can still, like, he who knows what to do and doesn't do it, it's sin. In other words, you can do a lot with that scripture, and I don't want to pull that out too far. I just want to make the point that believers still can sin. But see, we have an advocate with the Father, Lord Jesus Christ, who already paid for that sin. Doesn't give us a license and the freedom to go do whatever we want. But what it also says is that we can miss opportunities that God wants to do in our lives. Sometimes believers need to just get alone with God. You realize one of the most important things you can do in your life, and I see this with my own daughter. 1:30 in the morning, she's still reading her Bible. Now, she started at 7 a.m. No, I'm kidding. That was where. Oh, she's teaching. But my daughter makes time to read her Bible. She fights for that time. I mean, 1:30, most of the planet's sleeping. Do you read your Bible? Do you read it at night? Do you read it in the morning? Do you find some time to build your brain up and your heart up? God gave you a wonderful brain. He wants you to know His Word. He wants you to know the truth. He wants that buckled around your waist, having the breastplate of righteousness. Different commentaries on the breastplate of righteousness could mean different things. Some say, really, this is the righteousness that is the outpouring of your life. This is good decisions. This is standing firm and on moral issues, knowing that you're developing confidence in what you're doing. It's also, I believe in here, is the righteousness that Jesus gave you. But you know, righteousness should be worked out in our lives. I love talking about the righteousness that Jesus gave me freely. But guess what? God wants it worked out. He wants it coming out of our lives. He wants it coming out of our thinking. Just this last week, I put the pressure on certain people. Help me. Help me. I need help. We want that prayer letter signed. Bill yesterday was feeling terrible, so I found someone else to do it. And I realized that the person I'm asking to do it is already doing a lot, but he got it done, and I'm so grateful. I just say, you know, thank you, Lord. Thank you. And sometimes people have to fight through stuff because it's not convenient. The voice of sleep much later than you should is calling at us. Who got that one? Okay. Pearl. The sleeping, and again, I'm not denying that we need rest, and I'm not saying work yourself to death. I don't hear misunderstand me, but sometimes I think we don't appropriate the things that we can to become successful for the Lord. I say all these things because so many of these things are already at work in the life of this church. And Paul said to the Thessalonians, he says, you're doing well, but excel still more. It's not the performance trap. It's you and I knowing where we stand and recognizing that if God's doing something, and I believe He is, in our midst, we want to take advantage of that, if you would. We want to be good entrepreneurs for Him. But this work just doesn't get done. Hot dog carts, bounce houses, they just don't show up and magically appear. People get out there. People do this stuff. People help these events go on. Because at the end of them, didn't anybody see the video on their phone yesterday about the last year's baptism? Yeah, it was a highlight for our summer. It was wonderful. I believe today's going to be another highlight. I could be a little rambly here, and I'm not trying to be. I'm just sharing my heart with you this morning. And this importance of prayer. You know, when we pray together on Wednesday nights, I feel like we're actually, it's one of the most meaningful times that this church has in the course of a week. Because people do, they open up their hearts and they pray, and some people are feeling more like, you know what, I really want to be here. I want to be part of what God's doing. Because I think what happens when you look back and you say, you know what, those are areas that were difficult, but we saw God give answers to these situations. We trusted Him. We watched Him provide. We watched Him to show us what our future needed to look like. We trusted him when questions rise and we don't know what to do. Well, that's okay. Guess who wants to show us? God. But it's putting on this full armor of God. It's knowing how to protect yourself, knowing how to protect your own mind, this helmet of salvation, knowing that you've been saved by faith, by grace through faith, that not of yourselves. So these 3 points this morning basically are this. God wants us to stand against the wiles of the devil as we put on the full armor of God. He wants us to stand armed and ready to use these weapons so that we're not just haphazardly going out there. They say that this shooting last night, they had the shooter down in 1 minute. Now, I hate that. I hate shootings. But there are people prepared last night. 1 minute. This guy did a lot of damage in 1 minute. If they hadn't reacted in 1 minute, and I think sometimes that's what happens in the life of the church, is that a little gossip or a little false teaching creeps in there, and then it travels and it grows like a snowball, and then that church is undermined. Do not underestimate. Satan doesn't like what we're doing. And that's why I think sometimes we're seeing some stuff come up, we're seeing difficulties rise up in our church. And yet, all the more do we ever need right now to know how we stand in his righteousness. I want to go to a video. Some of you may remember this song. It's an oldie. It's called The Battle Belongs to the Lord. It was done by the Maranatha Singers, I believe in the 80s, but they put some good graphics to it.
Armor will enter the land. The battle belongs to the Lord. No weapon that's fashioned against us will stand. The battle belongs to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power and strength to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power and strength to the Lord. When the power of darkness comes in like a flood, the battle belongs to the Lord. He's raised up a standard, the power of his blood. Battle belongs to the Lord, and we sing glory, honor, power and strength to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power and strength to the
pray with me, please. Father, thank you for this morning and the opportunity that we have to get more acquainted with the weapons of our warfare. The scripture says, as we looked at the last couple of weeks, they're not carnal, but they're mighty, and they pull down strongholds. We thank you for the clear instruction this morning that we understand, like with our feet planted, firmly planted. We want to be like the Psalm 1, that our life just yields tons of fruit. We've weathered many storms because we recognize that we stand on the firm foundation of knowing that Christ Jesus purchased us. Lord, help us to develop, help us to incorporate, to utilize the weapons of our warfare, especially in these days, Lord. Lord, give us hearts for lost people who do not know you. Let us not just settle for the fact, well, they wouldn't be interested. No, Lord, they would be interested because you're interested in them. Help us to fight the good fight of faith, Lord, as we move forward this week. I pray that the rest of our afternoon would be truly a declaration of that our love for you is fresh and strong, and we don't want to get away from loving you. We thank you for this intimacy language of the book of Ephesians that reminds us that we're the bride of Christ, that we belong to you, that we are your holy people, that you love us and you want us to know this. Father, I pray for anyone in this room this morning who's never trusted Jesus to be their own, to say, he's mine. I trust him. I've never asked him to save me, to really save me. Lord, I pray for that person right now. If there's anybody here this morning with every eye closed, every head bowed, just say, Pastor, please pray for me. I want to know that I'm saved. I would love to see that hand this morning. Anybody here this morning? Thank you. Thank you. Lord, we bless your holy and awesome name. You have brought us today to this place. Here we are, August 4th, 2019. Thank you for every soul in these seats, Lord. We pray that this church would be reaching out to souls, to people that need the Lord. Thank you, Father, who want the Lord. We thank you for the hunger that you're putting in people to say, I want to know. I want to know. I want to know, and I want it settled, and I want to know God. Thank you, Father. Bless this person, Lord, who simply said, I want to know. Bless them today, Father. May they know that Christ Jesus died for them, paid a full price for them, and that to receive him is a gift. Thank you, Lord. Please bless the rest of our day. We go in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In your name I pray. Amen.